Take your seat 1 minute and lift up your hands. Maintain quietness everywhere. Holy. That's right. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy are you, Lord.
You don't care. Voice and worship in the spirit and receive his help tonight. Receive his help tonight. Somebody's receiving help for ministry, help in marriage, help in finances, help is coming your way. Open your mouth and pray in the spirit and receive that help now. In the name of Jesus, we worship you tonight for your help, Lord. Your word says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Thank you for this end of this program tonight. Thank you for lives you will touch. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name, take your seat.
Adi yaka,
bless me now, O Savior, I come to you. Savior, I come to you. Draw me, love. I'll come running after you. After you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty for all your Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily inside my heart. Lord, I'm hungry for a move of God. Welcome into this place. Into the broken vessel you desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our voice, so we lift our hands to offer up our praises to you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Ooh, we are waiting, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come and have your way. Come and have your way. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men do
shall do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Secrets of perpetual impact. First, face your front. Second, camp with God. Third, choose your company. Fourth, be your best. Fifth, invest in people. Invest in people. Whatsoever you will that men do to you, do so for them, because this is the law and the prophets. Three things I will say on this subject by introduction. First, investing in people is investing like God, because God invests in people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for the rescue of the world. Investing in people is investing like God. Therefore, number two, investing in people is the best form of investment on earth. Is the best way to invest in life. Finally, investing in people is investing for the future. Investing for the future. Someone said, if you invest in maize, you can reap a harvest in few months. If you invest in mangoes, you can reap a harvest for some years. If you invest in an oak tree, you can harvest for some centuries, possibly. But if you invest in man, harvest is forever. Dividends and yields are forever. Looking through scripture, we are going to see examples of people who invested in people. We see the outcome of them, how it helped them to last. Number one, Abraham. Genesis chapter 14 and in verse 14. The Bible said, and when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. His own servants, born in his own house, trained. These were people whose parents were the employees of Abraham, whose children he raised literally under his household. Literally. He raised them, trained them, groomed them, armed them. And that was their function in his life. What happened when Abraham raised the people? When he invested in the people? Number one, the people shared his burden and responsibility. They shared his burden and responsibility. When people are invested in, they become sharers of the burdens and responsibilities of their investor. Number two, The people fought his battles and defended his interests. When people are invested in, they fight the battles and defend the interests of the one who invested in their lives. Thirdly, the people sustained his impact. First, they shared his burden and responsibility. Second, they fought his battles and defended his interests. And third, they sustained his impact. That was Abraham. Look at Joseph as our second example. In Genesis chapter 40 verse 6, we saw how Joseph was in the prison. And he had under his care the butler and the baker of the king of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He came to them in the morning and asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked them, is anything wrong with you? Why are you looking so sad? Long story made short, they said they dreamt and they couldn't interpret the dream. Joseph said, is the interpretation not with God? Tell me the dream and God will give you the interpretation. He gave them the interpretation of the dream. Long story made short, the dream came to pass according to the interpretation. In a short while, the butler was back to his work. Even though he forgot Joseph initially, but later on, Pharaoh had a dream that I believe God caused to happen. And then he reached back to Joseph, who had impacted his life and invested care and attention in his life in the prison. What was the outcome of Joseph's investment of care and attention to the people? Number one, the people facilitated the actualization of his dreams and visions. The actualization of his dreams and vision. The people, and particularly the butler whose life he touched, was instrumental to Joseph stepping into the palace to be able to fulfill his dream and vision that he saw as a child. Second, the people assisted in the termination of his captivity. His captivity turned. His captivity got terminated because he was careful enough to attend to somebody in the prison. If it was today, you are a prisoner, he is a prisoner, so what is the concern? But that happened because he cared. Zig Ziglar was the one who said, you can get anywhere you want to get in life if you can assist as many people as possible to get where they are going in life. To get where they are going in life. You can reach anywhere you want to reach in life. Investing in people. Third example, very important example, David. In 1 Samuel chapter 22 from verse 1. David therefore, I'll read verse 1 and 2. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Now this is verse 2. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves to him. And he became captain over them. And there with him 400 men, with one man, 400 men. He determined their breakfast, determined their lunch, determined their dinner. If they were married, he cared for their wives and children. One man. He was on the run from Saul himself.
But he had enough sense and enough heart to attend to people distressed, discontented, indebted. That is what we're talking about. People beaten, broken, battered, shattered, scattered, ruptured, punctured. Those kind of area kind of people. People of low value and low worth gathered themselves together unto David. And I can tell you, beloved brothers and sisters, the investment David made in these people, in these people's life, was a major high point of David's life and destiny. If you go through scripture, these area boys, these scattered, broken, beaten people, became what they call the mighty men of David. The mighty men of David in scripture. The mighty men of David. When we limit ourselves to ourselves, we have limited our destiny permanently. Look at what happened. What was the outcome of these people that David raised? Number one, the people became higher. They became the mighty men in Israel that demonstrated unusual exploits in his assignment. They became the mighty men in Israel that demonstrated unusual exploits in his assignment. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and in verse 8 to 12. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I'd like you to see this. He said, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonites that sat in the seat. Chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Esnite." This guy, a former broken, battered, beaten, scattered guy, he lift up his spear against 800 enemy forces and slew them at once. One man, he was a one man squad. I don't know how he was a person that was an army. That is, himself was an army. One man. He faced 800, the Bible says, at one time. He slew them at once. Go ahead. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. One of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, the rest of the army retreated. They retreated. They retreated. Only him arose, one man, and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand cleaved to the sword. His hand and the sword became one. God is raising such dangerous men in this generation. And out of this conference, I see people that will be equal to the forces of nations, equal to the demonic forces over territories, more than equal to the forces of territories. If you are here, you believe that, shout the loudest amen. I see God raising men with the heart of a volcano, the voice of thunder, eyes like fire, that are going to defy the wicked enemy forces in our nation, the forces of bloodshed in our nation. I see such men rising out of here. If you are among them, shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat. David raised men, not babies. He raised brutal. The Bible said the sword cleaved to his hand. We are still reading. Cleaved to his hand. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to the spoil. Did you hear that? The people had retreated because they were afraid. Only him stepped into the battle and wasted everybody. And the people only came after him to recover what the enemy left in the battlefield. That was the mighty men. Those were some of the men. Broken, beaten, scattered, shattered, useless, valueless people. that nobody considered anything was going to come out of. Beware how you look at people. The person you see as a trash today might be a treasure in the hands of God tomorrow. Beware how you look at people. Beware how you look at the young men and the young women and people that are insignificant in look around you. When we grew up, there were people who looked at us and never felt anything can come out of our lives. Today, they are shocked to their bones because the stones the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. It is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. You believe that? Say the loudest, amen. Take your seat. Take your seat. Take your seat. Is God speaking to somebody here at all? You are being raised. You are being raised. As you are hearing this thing now, a ruggedization process is taking place inside you. A fireization process. A mantle of aggression and violence to deal with the enemy single-handedly. It's coming upon somebody. Listen to this. Let's go. I think David's story will be the center of this message tonight. After him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into one troop, where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood. Somebody say he stood. There are guys who don't know what it means to retreat. They don't know what it means to run. The Bible says he stood. He stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And three of them, of the 30 chiefs, went down and came to David in the harvest. All right, I'll read that later. There were many others. Guy who went after a lion in the time of snow, when the ground was slimy, slew the lion. All manner of dangerous guys. They came out of David, who prepared them, instructed them, trained them, sharpened them, and released them. And these men became men of exploits. Mighty men in Israel that demonstrated unusual exploits in the assignment of God under the hand of David. You move from there. What else did they do? The people became the stability and stature of David's assignment. The stability and the stature of the assignment in the hands of David. These were the people that ensured that everything was stable, everything was strong. And we read that already in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and in verse 8 to 12. Stability, stature. When you raise people, you come to a point where those you raise give you rest. In our place, there is a proverb that says, horse gives birth to children so that his waist can relax. Do you understand? He can relax waist. He's carrying load so much. Now he has many to carry the load along with him. Thirdly, the people. Now, the scripture there is 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8 to 12. Thirdly, the people defied all odds to bring fulfillment to the desires of their leader. They defied odds to bring fulfillment to the desires of their leader. Now, how did it happen? In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 15 to 17, David longed and said, "Oh, that one will give me drink of the well, of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men now broke through the host of the Philistines. See David here. I gave this illustration some time ago. David is here. The well is there. And between David and the well was the Philistines, the enemy line. These people broke through the enemy ranks and line, went and fetched one cup of water and returned it, killed them on the way going, and say, "Oh God, take the water you want." You didn't hear what I'm saying? When you lay your life down for people, they lay their lives down for you. That is the normal process, except for people that are maybe human nature afflicted or satanically motivated. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? These guys passed through enemy lines, wasted lives on the way, fetch water, wasted life on the return, all to bring a cup of water to their master, to fulfill the longing in the heart of their master. One of us here said, oh, I feel I have a leading that God is doing this here or doing this there. And he said, which of you pastors can go and do this assignment? Say, here am I, master. I'm going to go. And then at every risk, tear down the devil, establish what must be done, and return back to the master and said, job done. You know what David did? He couldn't drink that water. He poured away that water. Can you show the scripture again? And they took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof. He poured it as a drink offering to the Lord. Why? He said, this is the blood of men. This is not water. Let me read it. This is not water. He said, fight be from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, I will not drink it. This is not water. This is blood. These people practically died to bring the water. How will I drink the water? He surrendered it to God as a drink offering. Am I communicating? That is the practicality of investing in lives. Let's go. Fourthly, the people prevented David from being killed prematurely by the enemy. They prevented David from being killed prematurely by the enemy. If you look at 2 Samuel chapter 21 and in verse 15 to verse 17, 2 Samuel 21. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. A whole giant killer. The Bible said he waxed faint. And for the first time I'm seeing this. Ish-bibenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He being guarded with a new sword, new weapon, new sword, he thought to have slain David for the very first time. But Abishai, one of those dangerous guys, the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, brother of Amasa, brother of Asahel, they were four dangerous boys in one army. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, he succored David, smote the one who wanted to kill his master, killed him. Then the men of David swear and say unto him, Oga, you shall not go anymore out with us to battle. You have tried. So that you don't quench the light of Israel. You are our light bearer. You are our role model. You are our frontliner. You are our just succor. You don't follow us again. You have tried now. You raised us now. We were nothing. We didn't know how to fight. You trained us how to fight. You taught our fingers to fight. Just relax. Let's fight the fight now. There is nothing we are not equal to now. You have given us enough mantle to tackle the battles. Is God speaking to somebody here? I am speaking prophetically to someone. In a short while to come, the enemies of our nation, the enemies that intend to dare the church, that intend to dare the church and dare the mantles and dare the unction of God in this time and in this season, those enemies shall fall by the mantles in our hands. They shall fall by the anointing in our hands. They shall fall by the grace of God in our lives. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Wow. Take your seat. That made David to last. That made him. It wasn't as if David was not powerful. It was that he was a bit old now and a bit tired now. He had fought 66 battles, he lost none. Only him had wiped out the Philistines like water. When he said when he wanted to marry Saul's daughter, Saul said, My bright prize is give me 100 foreskins. Go and circumcise 100 Philistines and bring me their foreskin. That is the dowry. The Bible said he did that so that he can push him to be killed. David went, he didn't only bring foreskin, he killed all of them and then brought the dowry. He multiplied, he did 200. The man said 100, he did 200. That was how brutal he was. How audacious, how ferocious. He tore down Goliath like chicken. But the same man now is weak. He's fainting. The one whose father he killed before wanted to kill him. You know, some people say Goliath had sons. The Bible said they were the sons of the giant. Four of them. We'll leave that for that another day. Four sons of the giant plus the giant father, five. And David had picked five stones. You leave it for another day. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? And they wanted to finish, but this man said, no way. We are the generation that will finish what wants to finish our fathers. Hey! We are that generation. We are that generation. We are that generation that will finish what wants to finish those who laid hands on us, those who poured oil on our heads, those who imparted us and laid mantles upon us. We are the generation that will finish those who wants to finish those who raise us. Somebody shout, power! Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Is God speaking to somebody here today? What did they do, number five? These people that David invested in gave him rest from battles. Rest from battles and challenges in his assignment. It was not just that the people prevented him from dying young. They gave him rest from battles. If you look at 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1 to 4, you would notice that earlier on they had even told David, don't go to battle anymore. But yet in chapter 21, he still went. In 2 Samuel 18 and in verse 1, and David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. This was the time when Absalom was rising. But the people answered, thou shalt not go forth. For if we flee away, nobody cares for us. Neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now you, one part man, you are what 10,000 of us. You are a 10,000 man squad. If they fall you, it is 10,000 people that died. Therefore now, it is better that you succor us out of the city. And the king said unto them, what seemeth you best I will do. And the king stood by the gate side. And all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. The people that you invest in, they give rest from battles. They give rest from challenges. The same way that it happened for Abraham. Let me give the final example and we shall pray. And we shall go to the next level. My final example is Daniel. In Daniel's case, Daniel had been given promotion. And in Daniel chapter 2 and in verse 49, Daniel requested
of the king that he should set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. He had interpreted the nightmare of Nebuchadnezzar and shown him what God showed him. And they promoted him. But he said something like, I can't go up alone. I must go up with others. Let me say this. Two things you must understand as we go to the next level. God takes up people who will take others up with themselves. When God is going to really lift a man, he lifts them with the view that they will lift, carry others along. Some time ago, I was asking God how much help he had given to me in some ways, with diversities and multifaceted graces and giftings and helps. He said, because I know you are going to impact others with it. And I'm going to bring people across your way that you will impart what I put in you. God, number two, is interested in the lives of those who are interested in the lives of others. He is interested. I am sure that the interest that that Daniel displayed towards the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was responsible for his longevity in Babylon, because he was in authority for 71 years. And every time there was a need, he called on his friends and they prayed together. Beloved brothers and sisters, what kind of investment do we do in the lives of others? If it is very, very critical that you invest in the life of others. And it's a spiritual principle. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. And God blessed them and God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Invest yourself, extend yourself, subdue it. What kind of investment? Number one is investment in the salvation and eternal destiny of others. Investing in the salvation and the eternal destinies of others. Taking it upon yourself that you are not going to go to heaven alone, you'll go with people. And it's a secret of longevity in ministry and destiny. God so loved the world, John 3:16, he gave his only begotten son. Listen, a church that is not a soul winning church will soon die. A pastor called me from Belgium the other day, almost crying, that one of the biggest, I won't mention the name of the church, mainline churches in a major city in that country, big church, was bought over just recently by people of the other religion to turn it into their place of worship. And the pastor was almost in tears, because in most places in Europe, all you see are old people in church, and as they are dying off, the church is reducing in number. No new souls coming in. No evangelism, nothing. A non-evangelistic pastor has no future in ministry. A church that does not win souls will soon die off. A pastor, a minister of God, who is not interested in the souls of people, has a short time to impact his world. Investment in the salvation and eternal destiny of others. Number two is the investment of spiritual deposits into others. Spiritual deposits. Here we are talking about graces, giftings. Here we are talking about the multiplication, duplication, replication of mantle. Where what God put in you as a grace or a mantle is reproduced in the lives of others. That was what God told Moses in Numbers chapter 11, verse 16 to 17. Number 11, 16 to 17 said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, gather me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with me, with thee, and I will come down talk with you, and I will take of the spirit that is upon you, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you bear it not yourself alone." You can be an apostle and deposit grace into financial members of church, unto financial apostleship, or apostleship in the corporate world. I am sure you know that Daniel was not a full-time minister. Daniel was a public servant who worked for 71 years, but with a prophetic anointing in government office. I am sure you know that Joseph was not a pastor. He was an administrator. I'm sure you know that Abraham was not a pastor. Abraham was a businessman that carried a prophetic mantle and a generational blessing mantle. See, when we mention all these things, people only think about this person. Okay, they are talking about pastors. No. The mantle of your father or your pastor can come upon you to make you function in your realm and generate the resource he would have generated if he was a politician, or he was a businessman, or he was a vice chancellor. The same order, frequency of results. Many years ago, I was a president of Christian Medical Students Fellowship, Nigeria Conference of Christian Medical and Dental Students. I did that work for 1 year, 2 years, one president for the school, and then a second year overall president of the whole medical students across the country. Christian medical students traveled from university to university. Practical fire, practical revival fire. I mean, the place was ablaze. Now, we have people from there who are in Canada right now practicing medicine with the same fire. We have people who are professors of medicine. The other day, I saw one who is a neurosurgeon in a mega teaching hospital in this country here, doing exploits there. The other day, I saw one who is an emergency care physician. And he came to see me and he told me, he said, he didn't meet me in school, but he heard of the exploits and caught the same fire. He's practicing medicine and also pastoring somewhere and dealing with the devil either by the unction or by the injection. Is God speaking to some? The man saw me yesterday. He saw me yesterday. I gave him up. He ran to the office yesterday. So, this is the investment of spiritual deposits. Number three is the investment of attention, affection, counsel. It's an investment. When you give your attention, you give your love, your affection, your counsel, like Joseph did for the prisoners in the prison. Gave them time, a listening ear. They needed direction. They needed counsel. He invested that time. There are people whose lives you change. That was Genesis chapter 40, from verse 5 all the way to verse 12 thereabout. The number four is the investment of instruction, knowledge, for skills development. The investment of instruction, knowledge, wisdom for skills development. This is where David came in. Where David carried these men and taught them the art of war, and taught them the giant killing techniques, and taught them the giant destroying techniques. Where you sharpen the skills of others. That was 2 Samuel that we read earlier on, chapter 22, verse 1 to 2. Finally, number five is the investment of practical care and welfare. Where you took a non-entity and turned him into a celebrity. Somebody stranded and grounded, you empowered them until they became something. The investment of practical care and welfare. This is where you turn the orphan into a millionaire. This is where you turn the widow from being a beggar to becoming a giver. This is when this was what Abraham did for the people that grew up in his house. In the book of Genesis, chapter 14, verse 14, where he raised and trained the people until they became somebody. I told you the story of the medical student that God brought my way. Father drunkard, 200 level medicine, University of Ibadan. He's about to drop out of school, no school fees. And I told him, I'm a medical doctor. I know what it takes for somebody to get a medical school admission. You are not dropping out. I picked him up, raised him up, trained him, became a medical doctor. He came and showed me his certificate. I told him, go and do the same for others. Where you pick, this is practical investment of resources, empowerment of lives. These are diverse investment modalities. Let me give a caution. There are people you invest in that may repay you evil for good. That is the nature of man. There are people you invest in that will completely forget about that you exist. I remember a young man was going to study petroleum engineering in the UK. I knew, there is some level of connection, physical in blood relationship. He had needed money to finalize because this is a very, very pleasant, a very, very lucrative kind of opportunity. If he gets it, he will come back. And no, we assisted him and he went back and studied the master's or something in petroleum engineering in the United Kingdom. The next time I heard of him, he has been back to Nigeria since, I'm not aware. He's working in the bank, I am not aware. When I was aware was when he has impregnated somebody, lost his job. That was when I was aware that he has finished the school. You know, if you are going to mind what people do, you won't help anybody. You won't help anybody. But you know that for every upper that is ungrateful, there is a root that remains attached. That is a caution. Now let's go further. Time is going. Investing in people is nothing but living beyond yourself. You are deciding to live beyond yourself. A life that is not centered on yourself. And what is the benefit of living beyond oneself? I'm going to rush. One, to live beyond yourself is to live for real. Is to live for real. That is real living. Because life is all about giving and receiving. We give out oxygen, we give out carbon dioxide, taking oxygen. We take in food and bring out what is not needed. That's how life is. The empowerment of others is the empowerment of self. The empowerment of others is the empowerment of destiny. You empower others, you empower your life. Number two, to live beyond yourself is to live above the floor. You cannot raise people and remain grounded.
To live beyond yourself is to live above the floor, is to live beyond the floor. You can't take people up and remain down. Those who are frustrated about pastors, about ministers, and all that, how that they are not stranded, they are not grounded, they don't lack resources and don't lack things. That kind of frustration may continue permanently because it will not end. Except if the pastor has stopped touching lives. Except if the pastor has stopped touching lives. For as long as he is touching lives, lives will keep on touching them effortlessly. I have not touched this church money, will never touch it till the day I leave this world. Not use one naira to buy a tie. And I can't be stranded. God's servant, Papuyedepo, can never be stranded. He touched too many people. If it's only two or three of us that face him squarely, in terms of welfare and all that, it's all right. You see, you can never be on the ground if you are in the business of taking people up. You can't. You can never be grounded. We have been given houses that we have not seen. During the lockdown, somebody called me. During the lockdown, I said, somebody just brought a vehicle. I think he bought it for how many million? Millions in almost seven zeros. During where everything was locked, I said, the person brought this vehicle and he said he bought it for so and so amount. I won't mention any amount so that nobody get hypertension. And he said, every time you are in town here, this is what to use. And it is yours, bought in the name. I don't know if I've seen that vehicle, I'm not sure. Do you understand what I'm saying? You cannot remain on the floor if you are in the business of taking people out of the ground. That is not your objective, but it comes effortlessly. We have houses that have been given as seed. We haven't seen. We don't know where they are. Number three, to live beyond yourself is to step into the world of your vision. To step into the world of your vision. It was by helping the butler that the vision of Joseph came to pass. By just sharing extra care is to step into the world of your vision. When you help people to realize their life's vision, you end up realizing your own life's visions. Four, to live beyond yourself is to live beyond your realm. And that is the realm of normal human realm. Why do I say so? Love is the nature of God. When you walk with love, you walk in love, you command the presence of God. To live beyond yourself is to live beyond your realm. The flow of love activates the nature of God, and that is supernatural. Number five, to live beyond yourself is to live beyond your space. You will be making impacts in places where you are not physically because of people you raised. There are churches that are planted around the world of different ministries, and the ministries that sent them didn't need to be there. You live beyond your space. You make impact beyond where you are. When you live beyond yourself, number six, to live beyond yourself is to go above your loss. David, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, from verse 11, in fact, from verse 1 to the end, Amalekites hit him. He saw a man struggling in the field, attended to that man, and that man facilitated the recovery of what he was looking for. Facilitated the recovery of what he was looking for is to go above your loss. Number seven, to live beyond yourself is to live above your walls. Your walls. Why? Because the people that you raise become participants in fighting the battles of your life above your walls. Number 8, to live beyond yourself is to live beyond your time. By the time you have made deposits in souls, people are saved, people are impacted, affected. By the time your time has finished in this life, if Jesus tarries to come, your impact is still there. It doesn't matter whether you are a founder of a ministry or a pastor. It makes no difference. Souls that are saved are souls that are saved, and they are traceable to whoever led them to Christ. Somebody say amen. Is anybody getting anything tonight at all? Everything I have said tonight, you don't need to be a pastor to invest in people. What are the qualifications for investing in people? Number one, be close to God. When you are close to God, you tap the nature of God, which is compassion. That leads us to number two, be close to God. Number three, be compassionate on others. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, Jesus saw the multitude and he moved with compassion. Number three, possess a character of quality. A character of quality. Possess a character of quality. You know, those who are looking for money to steal don't understand what it means to impact lives. They don't. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, he said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So thieves are not concerned about who is in need. That he may have to give to him that needeth. And as a matter of fact, we are talking about perpetual relevance in life. It is not possible to have relevance without character. It is not possible to have a future without character. Possess the character of quality. And number four, start from where you are. Before you can save a field filled with souls, begin to save individuals first. Start from where you are. God told Abraham, from where you are, lift up your eyes. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, 15. After that, Lot was separated from Abraham. Lift up your eyes from where you are. Every positive action starts from where you are. You cannot pay the school fees of a child in the university, but you can pay the school fees of one in primary school. Start from where you are. You may not be able to build a house for somebody, but you can pay house rent that is maybe $1,000 or $5,000 a month. You can start from where you are. Don't say, God, if you turn me into a billionaire, I will touch other lives. If you give me more anointing, I will do more for God. Use the anointing you have now to do what you can do now. Then it will grow. Am I communicating at all? Finally, what are the responsibilities of the impacted? You have been raised, or you are being raised. You have been impacted. What responsibility? Somebody helped you, like the guy that was assisted to go to the UK and did not remember. What responsibilities? Number one, release goodwill continually towards those God used to affect your life. Goodwill. Wish them well. That was the kind of goodwill that the men of David expressed in 2 Samuel chapter 18 when they told him, you cannot go to war with us anymore. We love you too much to make you waste. Goodwill, goodwill. A heart overwhelmed with gratitude. There are those who wish those who raise them evil. Oh, goodwill, goodwill, goodwill. All the things I'm saying now, we have referred to them already. Number two, invest in prayer and stand in the gap on their behalf. Invest in prayer, stand in the gap on their behalf. That was what it means. It meant for the people to fight the battle for David. That was what it meant in Genesis 14:14. For those people to fight the battle for Abraham. Invest in prayer, stand in the gap on their behalf. The ones that God have used to impact and affect my life, I don't only pray for them, I recruit prayer on their behalf. I recruit prayer on their behalf. Go ahead, pray for so and so, and go ahead and just up, especially if I receive signals that the enemy has any funny thing in the air. Paul the apostle said, pray for me. Pray. It is not weakness for the father to be prayed for. It is not unbelief. It's a responsibility. Number three, give them every cause to rejoice at the remembrance of you. Every cause to rejoice at the remembrance of you. There are people, sons and daughters and children, that fathers remember with pain. People they have touched, affected in one way or the other, and pain in the heart. Philippians chapter 4 verse 1, Paul the apostle speaking said, therefore my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, as you stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved, you are my joy, you are my crown. I think of you, I rejoice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 19, Paul the apostle again speaking said, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not you, even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? Number four, determine to run the errands of their assignment where necessary, where and when necessary. The errands of their assignment. That was what it meant for the people to fight in the battles of Abraham and in the battles of David. Genesis 14:14, we say already. The errands of the assignment. Determine. When I was given the opportunity to sit on the Covenant University Board of Regents, it was my utmost excitement to be involved. I will study and research to go for the board meetings. I've seen situations where my father in the Lord calls me and say, oh, Paul, where are you right now? I say, oh, it depends on where you want me to be right now. It's okay. Can you be on your way to Lagos? Yes, sir. I'm on my way. It's as simple as that. Programs scheduled. For 21 solid years, there has not occurred one convention there, ministers conference, Shiloh, or anything. For 21, 22 solid years that I had any program in the world that could clash. None. If the program happens, it has been canceled. Whether it is in US, anywhere. I called you the other day, I think was it last year? And I said to him, Pastor, where are you now? He said, well, what do you want me to do? I said, okay, I have a preaching engagement in so and so place. I'm unable to go now. He said, I am on my way now. That's Reverend Tia. I am on my way now. Give me the details. I gave details and he moved on the spot. Just see. It didn't matter. It didn't matter whatever program was. He moved on the spot. And I called the other pastor. I said, I'm not able to come for so-and-so reason. So-and-so person is coming. You say, oh, that's perfect. Are you following what I'm saying here today? It is not a show of anything other than honor for the oil that has helped you. Because if that oil didn't help you, you wouldn't have any assignment to be busy with. You won't have anything to say you are busy with. Because remember how you were before the oil encountered you. Just remember. You see, people have very short memory. The anointing that is shaking your head now, that makes you feel you have an arrival, find out how did it originate. In your normal person from how you were, what would have brought you here now? Nothing. Hallelujah. So, determine that number five. Determine never to hurt those God used to help you where necessary. To hurt those God used to help you where necessary. Determine not. Don't attempt to erase those that were used to raise you. Counterproductive operations. Don't. Don't attempt it. I'll be rushing. Number five, never dishonor, despise, or undermine anyone who has invested in your life. Dishonor, despise, undermine. You don't vilify, you don't castigate anyone that God has used. They may have problems you don't understand. Check it before God. Make it a prayer point. Make it an intercessory point. It's not a discussion matter. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? In one way or the other, maybe God led you, you had a submission somewhere before. And God led you somewhere else. Whoever God ever used to drop any oil on your life is not your enemy. There are those who have a mentality of, I am not here now, I am there now. And where I am now is better than where I was. Who said so? It's a matter of divine direction. A matter of divine guidance. You don't castigate the primary school that you came through because you are now in secondary school. That primary school was necessary at a point for your life. Am I communicating at all? You don't talk against churches because you left the church. Don't talk against them. At least it was good for you for a while. You don't talk against pastors because they are no longer your pastors. At least you believed in them at a time. Just face your front. Face your front. Remove the log of wood from your eyes. Before you can see that broom in the eye of that man, remove your own log of wood. Somebody asked me the other day, say, supposing somebody just messed up and did a very, very terrible thing. You mean we shouldn't talk about it? I said, look at Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, gossip about it. You which are spiritual, make it discussion topic. You which are spiritual, distribute and share the story. What did he say? You which are spiritual, restore such a one. How? In the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, in case you also be tempted. And he has said, let him that thinketh his standard take it in case he crashes. Very important. So this is, you don't vilify, you don't demonize a person that poured oil on your head, touched you one way or the other. Maybe he missed God, like Saul missed God. David said, I will still not touch him. Saul missed God until he went into witchcraft. He consulted with familiar spirits. David says, it's not my business. Abishai said, let me smite him. He said, relax. It is not my hand. His day will come that he will die, or God will handle him himself. I won't help God to handle him. Hallelujah. Number seven is close to this one. Never be comfortable around those who despise the authority you respect. You are not comfortable. You know this. You know what I told you yesterday about what happened to the people that of Lystra, where Saul ministered. These people thought that there was a God. Suddenly, some people came and talked to their ears, and their mind changed on the spot. Never be comfortable around those who despise the authority you respect. Otherwise, you end like their end. 2 Samuel 15:11. Some people followed Absalom, and their end was disaster. That was number seven. Number eight, bear the burdens and fight the battles. Bear the burdens and fight the battles with those God has used to touch your life. Bear the burdens. Fight the battles where necessary. These are intercessory battles, prayer battles, battles in ministry. And number nine, participate in the fulfillment of their life's assignment where necessary. Oh, I have my own assignment. Yes. Iron sharpeneth iron. Wherever you are, wherever your services are needed, why not? In the fulfillment. Lord, if you can't do anything at all, you can pray. In the fulfillment of their life's vision. One of the most respected men I respect in ministry is called Bishop David Abioye. He's a number. He's a pastor serving in a ministry that is bigger than many general overseers in his right as a servant in a ministry. Anywhere they can call his father, they can call him. He has the same stature globally. They ask him, what is your vision? You say, my vision is to see Bishop Oyedepo's vision come to pass. Whatever God sent him to do, God sent him to do something, and God sent me to him. Such men are in short supply globally. Am I communicating? Whether you are on your own or you are within a commission or an assignment, let it be part of your determination. Anywhere I can be of any assignment in the life of the one that God has used or is using to touch my life, anything that is requested of me, I'm available. Such a mentality, such a mindset. Hallelujah. Very, very important. Participate in the fulfillment of their life's assignment where necessary. And finally, show your appreciation by raising others. Multiply, replenish. If you have been raised, raise others. If you have been affected, affect others. If you have been impacted, impact others. If you have been touched, confirm that you are grateful by touching others.
The songwriter wrote, fading away like the stars of the morning, losing their light in the glorious sun. Thus would we pass from the earth and its toiling, only remembered for what we have done. Only remembered, only remembered, only remembered by what we have done. Thus would we pass from the earth and its toiling. Only,
can we all be upstanding?
Only remembered, oh, only remembered, oh, oh Lord, only remembered by what we have done. Thus what we pass from the earth and is toil. Only remembered by what, only remembered, oh, only remembered, oh, ooh, 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 remembered by what we have done. As we pass from the earth and storm.
Sing.
Holy remember,
one more time.
Only remembered,
oh.
Only remembered,
oh.
Only remembered, oh.
Only remembered,
by what we
up your hands. Three prayers. Number one prayer, Lord, thank you for this word to me tonight. How many of you think that this word is for you? You know, the word was two-edged. It's talking about us imparting and what to do having been imparted. It's two-edged. It's on two sides. Lord, I receive the grace to walk worthy of what I have heard, to affect my generation, and to be responsible as one who has been affected. Open your mouth and speak.
On his throne, holy remember, only remember, only remember.
Second prayer, the five things we mentioned. Face your front, camp with God, choose your company, be your best, invest in people. Father, the grace
to do this. Lift your hands and say, Father, I receive that grace to face my front in life, in ministry, not to be distracted by anything. I receive that grace.
I receive that grace
to camp with God.
To camp with God.
I receive that grace.
I receive that grace
to choose my company.
To choose my company.
I receive that grace.
I receive that grace
to be my best.
To be my best.
I receive that grace.
I receive that grace
to invest in people.
To invest.
I receive that grace.
I receive that grace
now. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Notice that on the list of responsibility I mentioned, I did not mention make sure you give him money. Was it mentioned on the list? Make sure you give him money. Make sure you sow seed into his life. I forgot to mention it. It's not part of what crossed my mind, because it is not all about money. When people touch you, honor is natural. If anybody has to educate you to honor your father, something is wrong. If anybody has to teach you, say, Christmas is coming, make sure you do something is wrong with that person's mind. It's not all about that. That is a natural flow. I saw something somebody wrote today, because some people were trying to say some things about, I think, the new law that government made, which we'll talk about soon. And some people are trying to speak because God's servant Bishop Oyedepo spoke and said that law was not correct. And some people were talking, and one popular guy in this country, I think is a news person, but a covenant person, rose up aggressively. It's a Living Faith Church has over 25,000 employees. They have not owed salary for one day. Half a day. Since 1999, power outage has not happened in Canaan land for 15,000 occupants. There is more. Redeem is currently generating 25 megawatts of electricity by themselves.
The man said, if government will run the way pastors are running churches, Nigeria will be a developed country. How many years will it take for this kind of project to be completed under normal routine in this nation? They will eat all the money. I know of stadiums in this country that have been in construction for almost 30 years. From one to another to another. That is how to be a son. The man rose up and he's well known. He rose up and spoke. I think his daily mama was so. He rose up and spoke with audacity. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? In this place, salary by the 27th of the month, 25th, 24th is paid. It's not if an accountant cross to the next month, he can be sacked. Here, I said, do you want to bring this church under a curse? He said, cursed is the man that refuses to pay his neighbor for his wages. Hallelujah. And so, Father, I received the grace to be a son of God and to be a son, a true son. Lift your voice and speak. I receive that grace. I receive that grace. I receive that grace. Precious name, the Lord has answered us. Tonight, I am going to trust God for the oil to last. The oil of perpetual relevance. Did anybody bring any bottle of oil? If you didn't, we can. If you brought, you can lift it up. And in this season where they say people shouldn't touch each other, I wonder who will pour oil in your hand now. If you, right, you can just drop it from top without applying it directly on the hand so that the law can be obeyed. While this is going on, it is important that anyone who has not given his or her life to Christ will step forward. Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You will step forward. You step quickly forward, carry your Bibles, carry your bags. You are battling with an addiction, battling with a lifestyle. You are battling with something that you know is not correct in your life. Quickly run to the front here. And then I'll tell you more about this oil before you place it on your head. Quickly come forward here. I'll give you the count of seven. And then you will rush to the front here and make your ways right with God. One. And two. And three. And four. And five, and six, and seven. I'll start again. Anywhere you are, I see one or two people on the gallery there. Anywhere you are, quick to the front here. One, you need to make your way right to Jesus. Two, and three. Now, if that person is sick, you should hold on. Don't drag anybody like out for now. This is not why we are calling. Please, ushers, help her there. Right? We'll pray for that sick person at the end, but not immediately. Quickly come to the front here. Make your ways right with God. Place your right hand on your chest and pray after me and say, Lord Jesus. All right, they are still coming. Quickly come forward. Say after me, Lord Jesus.
I am a sinner in need of help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I pray for you today. I declare that hold of sin broken and help from above is released for you in Jesus' precious name. You can remain in position and people lift your hand or the bottle of oil. I'm going to pray on it. What was the theme of this conference? It's the secrets of perpetual impact, unending relevance. What it takes to last. So that you are not history while you are alive. You have not died, but they used to say in those days, when he used to be influential, when he used to be this or that. What was it that made Daniel for 71 years to remain critical and vital to the affairs of Babylon? We examine many of them in the course of this program. But this anointing is to seal it. And I want to tell you something about the anointing, about the olive and about the olive oil. But let me read this passage to you, Psalm 128. I'll read from verse 1. He said, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of your hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine." This is a prophecy for somebody trusting God for the fruit of the womb. "By the size of your house," he said, "and your children shall be like olive plants round about your table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless you out of Zion, and you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life." He said, not only are you just about to be anointed, he said, your children, spiritual children, physical children, shall be olive plants. So you are about to become an oil carrier, a generator, a transmitter of the oil, like the olive tree. But let me tell you something. Many years ago, when I traveled to Jerusalem, I think it was the second time, our tour guide, we sat under an olive tree in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the tour guide, I think it's Romema, right? She said to me, "This olive tree must have seen Jesus. You must have seen Jesus. Jesus must have walked around this olive." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yes. That olive trees can last for 2,500 years. 2,000 years, 2,500 years, 3,000. That's the olive." And I sat under that rugged olive. You see, the master must have been here. And one thing came to mind. That olive represents longevity, lastability. If the tree lasts, the oil from it can produce lastability. So, I want you to consider this oil tonight as a seal of durability. Durability of impact. Durability in ministry. Durability of your physical life. No wonder I say, "He suffered no man to do them wrong. He rebuked kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed." Do my prophets know? Whatever is planning to cut you short before your time, that thing is cut short before its time. Whatever is attempting to eliminate your influence and your impact by the reason of the anointing tonight, that thing is what shall be eliminated. The grace to face your front, to remain and camp around with God, to choose your company correctly, to release the best out of your life, and to have that kind of heart for God in order to touch other lives, that grace is released upon you now.
and that grace shall cause you to laugh.
So shall it be. And therefore I speak into this oil a seal of everything that has been preached in this conference. A seal of lastability, durability. If people die before their time in your family, by this anointing, that plague is arrested. Arrested in your life. And we release upon this oil the arrest of the plague of bloodshed in our country. The arrest of the plague of premature death in our country. The arrest of the plague of kidnappings. The arrest of the plague. I know that people are connected everywhere with the churches and people in their homes. Lift up this. So we're going to pray and we're going to anoint the streets and anoint the city and our territories. And we decree by the reason of this anointing, the plague of bloodshed is over in our land. The tenure and the duration of terrorism and their sponsors expire in our nation, expire in our land. The tenure and the duration of terrorism and their sponsors in our nation expires by fire. We receive divine intervention, celestial participation, angelic involvement, angelic paratroopers to intervene in our land in the name of Jesus. Whatever is dying out by the reason of this anointing, it is quickened. Anybody whose body system is failing, heart failing, kidney failing, lungs failing, anything failing in your body, I declare the failure is arrested forever. Life is released. A man testified here on Sunday. He was in Mobile, Eket, right? He was in Eket. His lungs shut down, 90% shut down. Witches were ready to celebrate his death. They were already calling, right? To find if he has died. And they have already confirmed to his wife that they are after him. That's the Eket pastor there. You remember the story? You gave the woman my number to call. He was in coma. He was gone. Dead. No rest. He wasn't responsive. Lung function gone. He was on artificial ventilation. Oxygen. Coma. Deep coma. The woman was crying. Already, when she came, she was already crying. The man has, I said, what is his name?
Yes.
When he called the man, I called the man's name. I said, come alive.
You said Otobong, I command you.
Otobong, come alive. I command you. Leave.
The doctor said, what happened, madam?
What happened? Because he came alive.
Yes,
sir. He came alive long from 10% function, returned back to 100% function. He came out of coma. He came alive. He was standing on this altar this Sunday, 5 days ago. To the shame of the witches and those who wanted to eat him, I prophesy upon this oil, every grave they have dug for you, those who dug it shall take your place there. And for every pastor, every minister, on your return back to your location, by the time the oil is released on your assignment, it moves to another level. Everything that the enemy has taken in this COVID season in terms of spiritual impact, I declare restoration. I decree restoration. I decree restoration. Everyone who is a victim of ancestral curse, generational curse, the yoke is broken. Between now and this time next year, if Jesus tarries, your spiritual impact has shifted levels. Those who are not yet married will return with their husbands and wives. Those trusting for the fruit of the womb, the fruit of the womb releases for you. Those trusting for church properties, it is already established. Whatever, those trusting God for mega crusade ministry and impact, it is already released.
prophetic graces shift to another level. Teaching graces enter depth. In the name of Jesus, pastoral graces multiply. Financial apostleship, business graces explode. Leadership graces multiply. In the name of Jesus. So this oil is blessed. In the name of the Father. And the mystery of the olive be established on your life. In Jesus' precious name. Take a little of that oil. Close the bottle. And then lift up your hands. At the count of seven now. Just lift up your hands. Once we scream and receive the impact of the oil, you'll be free to go. This message is available in one MP3. All of it. Okay. Secret of perpetual impact. Face your front. Camp with God. Choose your company. Be your best. And then this fifth one, you didn't put the title. Invest in people. All is here. The Lord bless and keep you. Sunday services will be celebration and dedications and Holy Ghost service part 4 in all our locations, and it's going to be very, very explosive. Take your time tomorrow and pray and just seek God. Tomorrow evening might just be a slight worship apart from the Thanksgiving instead of the regular home church walk tomorrow evening. Now lift up your right hand and ready, place on your head. And please, on your way home, assist us, pick somebody on the road, because after tonight, they too will have their own cars. Okay. So that they can testify to you and share with you their testimony. Help them, pick them on the road, and let not one soul be left on that road by the time it is another 30 or 45 minutes. Please ensure that you do that, and God bless you. If you need to go and come and take some people, do it as a service to God today, especially if you live around this Aziz. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Lift up your hands. Father, let the fire fall. Let there be a seal. Laga, ya, 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 ya. Yeah, that's right. I see something like a crippling condition, a grounded situation. Your life, your destiny, your family, your business is grounded. Ministry grounded is rising up to run and walk right now. Terminal diseases are terminated. Receive the touch of impact, perpetual impact. At the count of seven, you scream, I receive, and place the hand on your head. In the name of Jesus, one, two.
Do it well.
Lift your hands again. Father, let it be. I receive, then you blast in tongues. In the name of Jesus. One, two, three, four, five, six, and seven. I receive. My, yeah, 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 yeah. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. First timers who just join us briefly, join those in the front. And for the rest of us, go with this fire, go with this impact. And under 24 hours, we shall hear your testimony. Another 72 hours, another testimony. Another 1 week, another testimony. Another 1 month, another testimony. The Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you from this day and forevermore. And the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And whether the devil likes it or not, year 2020 is our year of supernatural shift. And what kind of shift is it? It is drastic, and it is dramatic, and it is dimensional. Somebody give the Lord a 60-second shout of hallelujah. One to go. Thank you.
see you on Sunday 8 a.m. 10 a.m. And everybody traveling to distant places, you return back in safety.